Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
I think that we'll see December 21st. I think we'll see a lot of debauchery. Okay? Because I can tell you that some people, when faced with death, they're not going to get right with God. They're going to multiply their sinfulness is what they're going to do. That's what I think is going to happen. Anyway, but the Lord's going to, you know, I think it'd be funny if the Lord come before that.
Amen.
Of course, it'll be funny if he comes after that too. So be ready unto the coming of the Lord. Can I hear an amen out of some people? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God showed me something beautiful last night on this. It was absolutely beautiful. And excited to teach this today. I woke up this morning. How many of you woke up struggling and tired and achy and everything else? Rough day, huh? Yeah. My 33s are hurting today. All 33 of my spine bones are hurting today. And my wife, I got up and got the boys up, and I went and laid back down in bed, and my wife's in the bathroom, and here she comes with a bottle of pills and a glass. Here! Okay, dear. She watches over me really good. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is an outstanding chapter. It can be easily understood if, number one, you just believe the whole of the Bible. You believe the whole Bible. You believe the words of the Bible. And you believe that God has a way of making our understanding of His Word simple. Let me give you an illustration of that. If I were to say the word lamb in context of the Bible, if I were to just say, let's talk about the symbol of the lamb in the Bible, what is something that you immediately think of? Jesus Christ. And so if you see a lamb in the Old Testament being slain, do you get that? You see how easy that is? Okay? The Bible never called Jesus the wolf of God. Never called him that. Okay? So he called him the Lamb of God. Behold, John the Baptist saw it and proclaimed it before Jesus ever died on the cross. Dying on the cross was no accident. It was no happenstance. It is something the Bible says. He was slain from the foundation of the world. God had this plan before he ever created anything. He had this plan already laid out. So he said, behold the Lamb of God. And so when we see the Passover lamb, when we see the blood, and the blood is the symbol of the atonement and the symbol of salvation, when we see those things, then it makes sense. And so the Bible is full of symbols like that. They usually all point to Christ or Antichrist, and there's even a real easy way of figuring out who's who, and I may get into that a little bit later on. But anyway, here's Paul now. Now remember, he's teaching to the Corinthian church. He's teaching to all churches. But in this particular place, he's teaching to the Corinthian church, and this Corinthian church has some doctrinal issues. It has some problems that he's going to straighten out. He's going to attempt to straighten out their doctrine. He's going to attempt to teach them very deep and profound things, and yet they are profoundly simple, is what they are. And so he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. And the word ignorant has the word ignore in it. Think about that. Ignorance is not the same thing as stupidity. Okay? It's not the same thing. Stupid or unknowledgeable of something means you haven't learned it, you don't know it. If I were to ask you, Jim, How many protons, neutrons, electrons are in the oxygen atom? Okay? Were you here Wednesday night? Then you're ignorant. If I had not taught that Wednesday night, you'd be stupid. Okay? I like him. Okay? Now, I mentioned Wednesday night. There's eight. Don't feel bad because I study stuff like that. Don't ask me how much is in iron because I don't know. How many protons, neutrons, electrons are in the iron atom? I don't know either. That makes us stupid. Okay? We haven't learned it yet. Well, now, we can learn it. Okay? But we haven't learned it yet. So we don't know that fact. When you are ignorant, you have ignored something. You had it presented to you, and you didn't take it. You ignored it. Okay? And Paul's telling here, I don't want you ignorant of these things. Because he taught people. He taught them what he thought. He taught them well. But now he's going to say, let's go back to second grade here. Let's go back and learn some old Bible stories that you studied in Sunday school class. Let's do that. By the way, the word ignorant and the word agnostic have the same root. It's the Greek word agnosko. Gnosko means I know. Okay? Gnosko is a word that teenagers use about every time you open your mouth to them. I know. I know. Okay? That's what gnosko means. Agnosko means I don't know. And agnostic is ignorant of God. He is ignoring everything around him that's telling him that there is a creator, that there is a God. He's ignoring that. And he hasn't decided yet whether he wants to believe in God or not. So you can work with agnostics. Amen? Paul said, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant. How that all our fathers, he's referring to the Jews now. All our fathers were under the cloud. Now I want you to do something here. We're under the cloud. Notice we have a list of things here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. How that all our fathers were, number one, under the cloud. Number two, and all passed through the sea. Number three, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So the Israelites were baptized. Amen. Number four, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. What was it that, and the word meat here, I'll explain this again. The word meat here does not mean the muscle of a deer. It means meal. A portion of food that you eat is a meal. That's what it means. And so when Paul said, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, what was he talking about here? Manna. And where did manna come from? Came from heaven. So stop and think about how true what Paul said is. How true this is. You and I are eating, we're eating the bread from heaven this morning. Now, I had the bread from Walmart, too, this morning. My wife gets donuts every Saturday. Yeah. So I had the bread from Walmart, and I had the bread, and I'm having the bread from heaven. They ate the bread from heaven. It doesn't get any more clear than that. That did not grow on trees. They would wake up the next morning, and it would be laying on the ground for them. How easy do you have to make it? The only thing that would be easier is if they woke up, and you know how people wake up in the morning, they wake up their mouth wide open. If they woke up in the morning and God had already laid it in their mouth, that would be easy. Okay? Now, I don't believe in work salvation, far from it. But I will tell you, if you are too lazy to get up and go outside your tent and gather up some manna that God put on the ground for you, then you are not interested in going to heaven. Amen. And believe it or not, there are people driving up and down this street, people at the American Legion Hall, too lazy to get up out of bed, pick up a Bible somewhere and read it. Too lazy. So anyway, they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4, number 5. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know that story, don't you? Moses smite the rock. Moses smote the rock. Water came out of that rock and fed them in the wilderness, fed their horses, their cattle, whatever it is, what they had, their camels, fed everything. They bathed themselves finally. And all of those things God did for them, and every one of them were examples of God's provision of salvation for them and God's provision on their journey of life. You and I are being provided for the same way. God has provided water for us. Bend down with a ladle or a cup or whatever and get you a drink of it. See how simple that is. God has provided spiritual food for you. Get up out of bed and pick one up and eat it. Consume it in your soul. By the way, this is the difference between what we believe and what Roman Catholics or even Lutherans believe. The idea of transubstantiation. They believe that the wafer and the grape juice, of course, in their case, they use real wine, which you ought not do. Amen? You know what you're doing? You're turning children into wine bibbers. That's what you're doing. I mean, these kids that grow up in these churches, where do you think they get their first taste of alcohol from? That's a shame. Ought not be that way. Okay, but you can't talk them out of it. So anyway, and Jim's told me stories. Amen. Okay. Anyway, what was I saying now? Well, back to the scripture. Anyway, they did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual, transubstantiation. You and I do not, when we eat the wafer and drink the non-fermented, non-alcoholic, fruit of the vine, wine, we are not consuming the blood and body of Christ. We do that when we read, accept, and believe the New Testament. See how simple that is? And Jesus plainly told them, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you cannot have the kingdom of heaven. He said, except you do that, you can't do that. That is reading and accepting and believing the New Testament is what that is. Amen? That's what that is. Because it's spiritual drink and it's spiritual food. The word spiritual does not mean philosophic or it's only in the cavities of your mind. That is not what that means. It literally means of the spirit, and that is exactly what your spirit is doing. Your spirit eats and your spirit drinks. Your spirit breathes. Your spirit requires blood to live. And it must get those things from God who is spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what your spirit is and does. Do not confuse it with the flesh. Matthew is, he's talking to a young lady he goes to school with, and I don't know what church she goes to, but she has been convinced that you must be water baptized in order to be saved. That's what she's convinced of. And Matthew's trying to talk her out of it. Bless his heart. So he sent me a text message from school saying, Dad, I need verses. I need verses. So I sent him two verses about the fact that real baptism is required for salvation, but it's not tank water. Okay? In 1 Peter, the Bible talks about Noah and the ark being a picture of baptism, not the putting off of the filth of the flesh that omits water baptism. But of the something about the cleansing the conscience or something. I don't remember the verse exactly. But that's on your inward man. That's your spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? So when you eat the body of Christ, you are consuming the words of this book. You're taking them into you and you are living by those things. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if that verse is not true, then that we must have every word that came out of the mouth of God. Amen? All right. I hope I'm not confusing everybody. I hope I'm teaching you something deep and spiritual. Because Roman Catholicism and everybody else is all about what you do in the flesh. You must be baptized in the flesh. You must eat in the flesh. You must eat the flesh. You must drink the blood. You must do all these things. And if you don't do them, you are not saved. That is works-based salvation. And God is not saving your flesh. Tell God thank you for that.
Amen.
Okay? He is saving your soul. So anyway, they did all, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So Paul is telling that what he's, there's a big picture here. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. I want you to understand what the Bible is clearly telling you. And the Bible is drawing your mind and your ideas to the fact now that we are dealing with the people that God has taken out of Egypt. Are they in the promised land yet? No. When God got ready to send them into the promised land, he quit giving them manna. That's what he did. He quit giving them manna. So anyway, we are dealing with people who for 40 years are in the wilderness. They are in that in-between place between Egypt and the promised land. And let me put it to you like this. They are where you are right now. You are in the in-between place between Egypt and the promised land. Does that make sense to everybody? God's called you out, but you're not home yet. Now, there's no way around this. The clear teaching of this chapter is that not everybody that came out of Egypt went into Canaan land. That's clear. The Bible's going to tell you why these things, why it happened that way. So let's look at verse 5. And in fact, before you look at that, I want you to ask the question. Do you think that everybody who is sitting in a church today is going to heaven? Do you think that everybody who calls themselves a Christian today is going to heaven? No. The people who are, and you can be an unbeliever sitting in an unbelieving church listening to an unbelieving pastor. How many of you know that? You can be an unbeliever sitting in an unbelieving church and listening to an unbelieving pastor. People are doing it everywhere. So just because you say, well, I got down at the altar, or I was baptized, or I did this, or I did that, that does not make you born again, saved. That does not make you that way. Okay? And the Bible is giving you this analogy here and telling you how clear this is. So he said, verse 5, but with many of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Many of them nothing, all but two. Joshua and Caleb. Now, those who were born in the wilderness, those who were born after the 12 spies came back, and here's the issue right here. I want you to listen to this. Here's the issue right here. The issue. When the 12 spies came back, 10 of them said, we cannot go into that place. That's what 10 of them said. Two of them came back as witnesses, Joshua and Caleb. They came back and they said, you know what? We saw everything these other guys saw. We saw the giants. We saw the walled cities. We saw what looks like the impenetrable forces. But God told us that we could go in there. And instead of us believing what we saw, we live by faith and not by sight. We believe the word of God. Are you getting this? We believe the word of God. We believe what God said. God said we could go in there. The 10 that came back did not believe the word of God. And they convinced the entire nation of Israel to not believe the word of God. That is why they fell in the wilderness. That and that alone. They did not believe. And I'm telling you, there are no unbelievers in heaven. None. You don't come to an altar when you're 12 years old. Say you got saved. Go out and live the next 60 years of your life like a dog and an infidel and an unbeliever. and go to heaven. Doesn't happen. Okay? So, the issue is, the key issue is, and don't ever forget this, the key issue is belief. So I'm going to ask you, do you believe this Bible? Have you ever had that belief challenged? Yes, I have. This is why you study and you educate yourself more on the Bible. So the next challenge that comes along, you say, you know what? I got a shield for that one, buddy. I got a shield for that one. I ain't buying that. I fell for that a long time ago. I ain't falling for it anymore. So this is why I'm in Sunday school and church, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Pure Bible Study, Watchman Broadcast, Pastor Mike online twice a week. I'm not bragging about my works. What I'm telling you is that I have set it as a mission of mine to try to convince people that the Word of God is the Word of God, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that you're to believe it, and you're to believe every word of it, and don't let anybody talk you out of it. You're in peril. You are in danger from people talking you out of your Bible. Don't fall for it. Amen. Watch that. I want to show you something neat. Now, let's go through this. Let me count this again. All the fathers were, number one, under the cloud. Number two, all passed through the sea. Number three, were all baptized into Moses. Number four, all did eat the same spiritual meat. And number five, all did drink the same spiritual drink. Five things here that characterize what God was doing for them to bring them into the promised land. And it worked for Joshua and Caleb and those that were born after the issue with the 12 spies. It worked for them. But watch this now. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So number one, these things were our examples. I want you to underline that in your Bible. These things are our examples. When God gives a doctrine, He gives an example of the doctrine. God's a good teacher, by the way. A good teacher will teach you the principle and then give you the examples of the principle. That's what a good teacher will do. And God is a brilliant teacher. He's gifted. Amen. Well, He's the gift giver. He's got all the gifts. Amen. God is an outstanding teacher. So He's saying, let me give you an example of how this doctrine works. Let me give you one. This is on my new list. I've had it for a couple months now, and I can't teach it enough. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians that the man of sin was going to be revealed, the son of perdition, and that before that happened, there was going to come a falling away first. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I poured over there. Gary, I looked at that, I don't know how many times. God, I want to, God, show me what this means. God, show me what is taken out of the way. God, show me that. And God makes this so easy for me. I wake up one morning and boom, there it is. I don't even have to work for it. I study a lot, but I don't have to work for it. God just says, boom, Mike, here it is. So I go back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And you know what I see taken out of the way? The Ark of the Covenant with the Word of God in it. The Ark of the Covenant with the Word of God was taken from the Israelites. It was taken out of the way by the Philistines, the Bible. It was taken out of the way by the Philistines. When Eli heard it, he fell backward and died. That's the falling away. You know what? You want to see the man of sin being revealed? At the moment he fell back and fell away, his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, gave birth to a child and called his name Ichabod, which means the glory is departed. That's the man of sin being revealed right there. God said, let me give you an example of what this doctrine or what this prophecy looks like. So I want to encourage you, take these doctrines and then go study them in the scripture for understanding. Because I promise you, God drew a picture of it somewhere in the Bible. I promise you He did. Okay, I just get excited when I talk about this stuff. So watch this. Number one. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Why does God not want us lusting after things? Why? He has a very, very good reason why He wants us to curb our lust, or He wants us to not lust after things instead of wanting what the world has. Why don't you want what God has? Amen. So don't watch out for your lust, and I may draw an analogy to that here in a minute. So number one, neither be ye. So let me go back up here. Now these things were examples to the intent that we should, number one, not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That's number one. Number two, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. Number three, or as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Number three, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Number four, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Number five, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. How many things were there here that they did? Five. How many things were there that God did for them? And God said, Mike, count that. And I counted it, and it was five and five. And the Holy Ghost said, you know what that means, don't you? So I want you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Some make it, some don't. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me, Bethel Church? Amen. Some make it and some don't. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, be likened unto how many virgins? How are they divided? Five and five. Are you kidding me? Look at this. 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Now, is that starting to make sense now to everybody? God even got specific with the numbers here. So count the, when you see a list of something in the Bible, count it. If you don't understand it right away, write it down, make a note of it. I promise you, 3 years from now, you're going to be digging through your Bible and you're going to go, oh, I know what that means. Okay? The five that were foolish, they lusted. They were idolaters. They were covetous. And all the other, I can't remember that. They murmured. They complained. That's who they were. They were foolish church people. Because they had lamps. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But you know what had happened to them? The light had gone out. Now, I want to tell you something. Be careful to maintain a solid, if not, now I can't say to you, if you don't read your Bible every day, you ain't going to make it. Because I'm wishy-washy enough to where I don't sit for 3 hours a day every day just reading Bible verses. I know some people, I knew a pastor one time, he said, Mike, 5 o'clock every morning I'm up reading my Bible. And I went, good for you. 5 o'clock every morning, I'm wishing the sun wouldn't come up so early in the summertime. Amen. Okay, that's not me. But I want to tell you something. Maintain close distance to your Bible. Maintain close distance to your Bible. Keep it close. If you had a condition where you had like heart medicine, like nitroglycerin, do you want it 25 miles away from you when you start feeling bad? You start feeling the pain in your right arm and your chest gets tight and you can't breathe. Do you want that 25 miles away from you? No, you want to carry it around with you all the time. Anybody's got heart problems, they usually have a little capsule thing on their keychain. Okay? On their keychain. So that it's right there. And I want to tell you something. There are people who can go and exercise every day and they maintain their body and they're fit. And when you ask them, hey, can you help me carry this? They just pick it up for you and say, where do you want it? I like people like that. Amen. That is not me. It is not me. I wish it was, but it's not. So I'm not going to lay a guilt trip on you. How come you don't read 10 chapters out of your Bible every day? What I am going to tell you is you make sure that it's close by your heart every waking moment. That's what I'm going to tell you. Because these foolish brides, they had filled their lives. I'm going to go back and tell you why they were foolish. In fact, the Bible's just telling you right here. Let me go back to 1 Corinthians 10 and read this list to you. Boy, listen, this Bible just makes it so clear to us if you'll just study and listen to it. Okay? Number one, don't lust after evil things. Amen.
Amen.
Don't sit around wishing you had another bottle of Jack Daniels. Don't sit and wish that the Missouri legislature would legalize pot in Missouri. Amen. Listen, if I lived in Colorado, I'd be buying a house somewhere else. I wouldn't live another day in that state. Would not live another day. Anyway, number two, don't be an idol worshiper. That means don't go to a Roman Catholic church or a Lutheran church or any church with idols in it. But it also means the New Testament gives you the definition of idolatry. You know what it is? Covetous. Curb your coveting. Get it to where your eyes are on Christ or on the Bible instead of on the world. Now, glance is one thing. Everybody glances. Right? Nice car. Okay? I'm being nice about it. That's a nice house. Okay? Oh, she's good looking. Okay? But then stop right there and say, my wife is better. My house is my home. My car runs. Mm-mm-mm. So this is who the foolish virgins are. Number three, don't be a fornicator. Okay? Don't be having an affair. Don't be chatting dirty chat on the internet. And stay away from porn. Don't be a fornicator. Number four, don't tempt Christ. Temptation, you know how Christians tempt Christ? God, I'm going to sin. I'm going to make you forgive me. Okay? If that's for me, tell them I'll be done in a minute, all right? Don't tempt Christ. Number four, don't murmur. They murmured in the wilderness. They complained. The word murmur is, I can't pronounce the word. There's a word for it. It's a word that sounds like a sound. When you got a bunch of people in a room complaining, what does it sound like? You know, because when you complain, you talk, you kind of talk like that. Oh, listen, I don't put up with that stuff. That's what murmuring is. Okay? And there's a whole other thing here. I won't get into that. But murmur. Don't murmur. Don't sit around and always complain about everybody else and what everybody else is doing and what everybody else, how you think God's unfair. You don't like this about the Bible. Don't be a murmurer. You listen, you be happy with what you've got. And tell God thank you about every 5-10 minutes. Lift your head to heaven with tears in your eyes saying, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I know I woke up for not feeling good today. God, I know I this and I know I that. But God, I didn't get hell. You didn't send me to hell, God. And I'm thankful, God. Thank you, God, for doing that for me. Amen. Listen, when you give God praise, you won't murmur. Okay? So that's the five foolish virgins. Was that the bell? Okay. Let me just read this very quickly. The verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and they took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their... Man, I'm going to teach this and I'm going to quit. You know what that oil is? The oil is the Holy Spirit. The oil is the Spirit of God in you that gives you the faith to understand and believe this Bible. There are churches all over the place with what looks like a Bible, but it has no spirit in it. Either one, because it's an uninspired version, because it's full of errors and corruption. Number two, the people who read it, it's not mingled with faith. And that's a lamp with no oil in it. You can read Alexander Scorby is famous because he is the one who narrated the entire King James Bible. He had that beautiful, God-given, talented voice that just sounds like God reading the Bible to us. Okay? In other words, you wouldn't listen to Pee-wee Herman reading the Bible. Okay? You would not do that. But everybody listened to this voice. He narrated the entire Bible. Lost, died lost. He died lost. Why? He didn't believe it. His lamp had no oil in it. It had no oil in it. And he died a lost man, from what I understand. Okay? And so I'm just telling you, these five foolish virgins had no oil in their lamp. And when the time came, they were not ready. And they did not go in, and the door was shut. Who shuts the door? Christ. Does anybody open up a door that Christ shuts? No. It's plain and simple, people. I wish I could go to every church in America and tell this same thing to church people. I mean, we all know lost people are dying and going to hell. But most people have in their mind that because they walked into church, they paid tithes, they sit on a board, they teach a Sunday school, or they sing the hymns, or whatever. They do it, you know, once every week or once every month or whatever. They've got it in their mind that that's sufficient for them. And I'm telling you, the people who come all the time, that still is not sufficient. If you don't believe this Bible or you harden your heart against it, you're in danger. I'm telling you, you're in danger. This Bible is telling you that not, it's an example to us that not everybody that walked out of Egypt walked into the promised land. And the Apostle Paul is telling us today, think about it. Think about it. I didn't want to go to hell when I was 9 years old. That's why I went down to an altar. I'm 46 and I don't want to go to hell. I'm just as scared of hell today as I was then. I don't want to go. So I'm going to keep this book close by. I'm going to keep me some oil right handy. So when I need it, it's there. Amen. Father, there's a simple lesson in this, God. And Lord, just help us to get over ourselves in it. You taught us, God, these things. These are your principles. These are your guidelines. These are your examples. And you're the one, Lord, who wrote it in the scripture for us to ponder and to think about. Well, Lord, I'm pondering and I'm thinking about it. And Lord, help me. Help me, dear God, to keep that oil handy. Help me, dear God, to keep my faith and my belief strong. And Lord, I was so blessed last night by what some people said to me last night. God, it made me weep. And Lord, I've just got it in my mind, Lord, that I'm going to stand on this wall. And I'm going to tell people that are behind me, that are counting on me. I'm not going to let anybody come in and steal your faith, not while I'm standing here. God, that's what I want to do. Lord, I need your help. I need your help every day, God. Lord, would you help me? And help these people, dear God, stand strong in the faith and the trust that they have for the Word of God. Help them to not fall away, Lord, ever. But thank you, dear God, for what you've done and what you are doing. I have total confidence in you, God. I love you and I trust you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.